The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
What a blessing it is to be here at Mount Greylock Baptist Church. And I am so thrilled to be with you all. I have not been in the States very much over the last year or so, but I'm excited to be back really where I came from. I was born in Pittsfield, and I haven't been in Pittsfield in years. Maybe I'll get over there this week, but I'm sure excited that you're all here. Of course, I know Brother Cedric pretty well. When I pastored in Connecticut, they came to our church. I've been working on Brother Cedric to get his heart right with God and come on a missions trip to Honduras, and Lord willing, one of these days we'll get them out there. And such a blessing. All the music tonight was just a blessing and prepared my heart. And I love Missions Conference. There's no more exciting time of your whole year at church than this Missions Conference. I'm telling you, it is an important 3 days. And we are having a meeting that determines whether some of these people in Burma will ever hear the name Jesus Christ. It's an important time, and I love Missions Conference. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. I will not preach long, but I'd ask for your attention for the next 20 or 30 minutes, and I will preach a message that I hope will be an encouragement to you. Exodus chapter number 3 in your Bibles. Exodus chapter number 3. The Bible says in Exodus chapter number 3, verse 11, Moses is speaking to God. This is the account of the burning bush, and some of you are familiar with how God got Moses' attention in a very specific way. And God gives Moses some instructions, and Moses responds in verse number 11, Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? Who am I? That's the title of the message tonight. Who am I? Who am I? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Mount Greylock Baptist Church, and thank you for each and every person that's gathered together tonight. Lord, we're thankful that we have the Word of God. We're thankful that you're still calling missionaries to the mission field. You're still using churches to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that people are still hearing the name Jesus Christ all across this world. Lord, I pray that for the next few moments, you just free us from distraction. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you use this passage of Scripture in this message tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a reminder as to the history of what's happening in this part of Scripture. The Israelites have been for many, many years slaves in Egypt. We know that when we think of the history of Israel, we know that God uses Moses to call the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Remember the whole crossing of the Red Sea? Boy, there's some great future ahead for these people, but they don't know about it yet. They've been living in slavery. They've been living in bondage. And we can know that as a fact, but can you imagine what that would have been like? Put yourself in that place just for a moment tonight. Remember when Moses was born, he was born in a time where the Pharaoh had ordered every man child to be killed. You know, they didn't have ultrasounds and they didn't have a way to know if they were having a boy or a girl. Can you imagine being a pregnant lady? Hearing stories about moms giving up their kids being killed. And when you find out that you're having a baby, there's probably some excitement and at the same moment a feeling of dread. And can you imagine that day that a mom gives birth and of course there's all the drama and the pain of birth, but then she looks at that baby, boy, that's so precious and so perfect. And she knows this baby's going to be taken away from me, probably killed. You could have probably walked through the neighborhood at times and heard moms scream out and in pain and hopelessness and agony, wondering why God would let them deal with such a difficult situation. Sometimes we get different ideas of what it would have been like. We know that as slaves, yes, they were required to work, but sometimes when you had that servant-master relationship, servants were treated well, but if they were killing the children, I don't think they were treating anybody well. Is it possible that there was fathers and men, maybe they were getting older and they couldn't produce what the Egyptians wanted, and maybe they were abused, beaten, maybe killed? Is it possible there's a mom and a dad and a couple of children, and one day the dad goes to work and the kids wait by the door for him to come back, and dad never comes home? Is it possible that moms are watching their teenage boys be taken to work and they're being beaten, and they come home and their parts of their body are bruised and beaten and bleeding and broken? You suppose that maybe once or twice there was a mom that got on her knees and looked up in the sky and said, God, where are you? It's hopeless, helpless. For many, many, many years, no doubt they were crying unto God for a change, and God was silent for many years. Moses, who the Bible describes as a humble man, a godly man, the type of person that if he were here today would be sitting in a church like this, perhaps. And Moses was so overwhelmed by the cruelness of the Egyptians. When he saw the Egyptians beating someone, hurting someone, Moses took the life of two Egyptians. What would cause a normal, humble man to do something so drastic? It was a horrific time. We can't imagine that we've lived in luxury and we've lived in blessing, and we were thinking about that earlier, all the things we take for granted. We can't imagine the brokenness and the pain in the lives of the Israelites in that time. Maybe one night they were praying for their food, and one of the teenage boys or teenage girls in the house says, Mom, I don't even know if God exists. And she corrects him and says, hey, don't you talk like that. But in her heart, she wonders, God, where are you? We're supposed to be your people. We don't know where you are. Maybe you've forgotten about us. I bet there were some people that just gave up on praying. Thought God wasn't listening and God didn't care. And this is exactly when we pick up this story. If you don't realize the background, it doesn't maybe mean as much, but look at what God says to Moses when God speaks at the burning bush. I'm not going to go through all the details, but God catches Moses' attention and Moses knows specifically you are speaking to the God that created the world. Can you imagine being able to talk to God directly in the way that Moses could hear? Look at what God says to Moses. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. My people. He reminds Moses, Moses, I know about your situation. You're still my people. I still love you. I haven't forgotten about you. Hey, listen, I don't know hardly anyone in this church, the pastor's family, just a little bit, and that's it. I don't know what you're dealing with in your life. You might be dealing with cancer, and it could be terminal. You might be dealing with a child that's wayward, and you've been calling out to God to help him and bring him back, and you've wondered, does God even know what I'm going through? May I remind you that God knows? God hasn't forgotten about you. He knows your situation. He knows it's real. Sometimes when we're going through a trial, somebody will try to encourage us, but they don't understand what it's like to be in our shoes. And they'll come along and they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry you got to deal with that. It's going to be okay. You'll be all right. And that minimizes what's going on. God doesn't say to Moses, Moses, you're going to be fine. It's not that big of a deal. God says to Moses, Moses, I've seen your affliction. I know what you're going through. What a thought to think that no matter how discouraged we could be, God knows what we're going through. Amen. That's important. That's important. I can imagine as Moses is receiving these words from God, can you imagine what the emotion is going through his heart? When he wondered where God was, perhaps for so many years, he's wondered if God's ever going to come back for Israel and do something with Israel, and God shows up and says, hey, I know about your problems. I've seen your affliction. I think for Moses, that was a little bit of encouragement right there. I think Moses is, if I were in his place, I'd be getting excited about this message. God, you know about what's going on. You know what happened in my family. You know how this person got hurt. You know about this situation. And God says, hey, I know all about it. Now look at this. God says, I've seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Now look at this. And I've heard their cry. by reason of their taskmasters, I know their sorrows. He says, I've heard their cry. I could give you statistics, Honduras or any other place. And it's helpful to know things. It's helpful to learn things. Honduras has 8 million people. I looked before church. Massachusetts has 7 million people. There's 180,000 orphaned or abandoned children in Honduras, which is more than all of the people in Berkshire County. Can you imagine in a state the size of Massachusetts having the entire county be orphaned children without hope? I can tell you about the orphans in Honduras. I can tell you about how they have the youngest age of teen pregnancy of any country in Central America. The average age of first pregnancy is 15 years old on average. I could tell you about the needs. I could tell you about what we've seen. But brother, you know this, it's different when you see it in person. It's different when you hear the cries of these kids. I remember when I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip and we visited an orphanage. There was over 100 kids in the orphanage there at the time. And I knew that it was an orphanage. I knew there were orphans and I'd even been there before. But there was one trip that stood out in my mind different because I was there one day in the back of a pickup truck with some other Americans. And the truck pulled over to the side of the road and I watched a father and he had his son by the arm, tight. And he's pulling his son along, bringing his son to the orphanage to leave his son, to abandon his child. He tells his son, you're good for nothing. I hate you. I never want to see you again. And I remember this young man, Orlean, and he's crying out for his dad, saying, Dad, don't leave me, Dad. I'm sorry, Dad. I don't want to go here. And I remember those cries. I remember him crying out. When our group noticed that and saw that, boy, it got their attention quick. And this young man, Orlean, everywhere we went that entire week, he came with us and he didn't have anybody that loved him. He didn't have anybody that cared about him. So when we went to do some activity, Orlean came with us and I remember that time our group left. When the only people he knows that care about him were our American group and he's hugging on everybody's legs and tears are streaming down his face because he's frustrated that we're leaving. And boy, it's one thing to know a fact, but it's another thing to hear a cry. When we first got to Honduras, we were in a very rural area. We didn't know much about how to accomplish anything or how to do anything. My daughter, Charlotte, she's 6 now. She was 3 at the time. And she got sick with something called chikungunya, which sounds like what you'd have after church for dinner, but it's something more close along the lines of dengue fever. You can get it once, and then you're inoculated from it for life. She can never get it again. She's better. But I remember her fever would go up and then go back down. We'd think we were doing better, but then it would go back up again. Crawled to 103, 104, 105. It got all the way to 106. I was struggling with being frustrated with God. Here, I'm a spiritual missionary. I've been in churches for years. We've raised our support. We're on the mission field. God's got to be pretty impressed with us, and God lets this happen. And I'll be honest with you, I was frustrated with the whole situation. I felt like it was my responsibility. I brought her there. If anything happened to her, it was my fault. Another American came along, and he was probably trying to help me and encourage me, but he said, hey, be careful. This is what happened to this other girl, and she's got brain damage. Thanks for your help. Well, that worry was real in my heart. But I remember one night, the fever was so high, she was just burning up, shaking. Put her in the truck. We drove her to the hospital, which I'd never been to at that point. Didn't know if it was a good hospital or not. And we get there 1-2 in the morning. And they bring her in and they feel her and know she's very, very warm. And they take her. They wanted to give her a cold shower right away to get her temperature down. And she doesn't trust anybody but mom and dad anyway. So she was scared as could be, sick as could be. You know what broke my heart most about all of that? It's when they took her out of my hands. And I hear her cry out for her dad. She's crying out, saying, Dad, Dad, Dad. She didn't want me to let go of her, and I remember her crying out. Why do I say all that? I think God's reminding Moses of something important here. God's reminding Moses, Moses, not only do I know about your situation, but every time someone's cried out to me, I've listened to those cries. I've heard those hearts. I've heard that emotion. I know your sorrows. I've heard your cry. Perhaps Moses was thinking, were you there when my mom cried out when she put me in the basket and didn't know if I'd be all right or not? Would you remember that? Do you remember those families that were getting beaten and their kids were getting hurt and they weren't coming home and there was moms crying out at night and they were asking God, where are you? God, you heard all that? And God says, oh, I've heard your cries. I know your sorrows. The truth is that God loved the nation of Israel. He loved the nation of Israel and he had a plan for the nation of Israel. And when they were having problems and when their hearts were broken, it broke the very heart of God. God knows a broken heart and God knows sorrow. We know that Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, had his fair share of hurt and sorrow. And God says to Moses, Moses, I know your sorrows. I know what my people are dealing with. Now look at this. God says to Moses, yes, I've seen the affliction. I've heard their cry. I know their sorrows. Look at this, verse 8. And I am come. And I am come. You think that was an exciting day in the life of Moses? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure going across the Red Sea and some other miracles that God did with Moses were incredible. But I think this was one of the greatest days in the life of Moses. Amen. When God says, Moses, I know all about it. I know your hurt. I know your pain. I understand it. And I'm here to do something about it. Amen. I mean, I think if we were in Moses' place, boy, we'd be ready to run back and tell our neighbors. We'd be ready to run back and tell everybody, hey, God has a plan. God has a plan. He doesn't want us to live in Egypt anymore. He doesn't want us to live with a hurt anymore. He doesn't want us to live with the abuse anymore. God's got a plan for us. Amen. Heard their cry. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Not just to escape the bondage, not just to escape the problems, but look at this, to bring them up out of a land unto a good land and a large, a land flowing with milk and honey. Can you imagine what that would have sounded like? For these Israelite people to hear that God's here, God has a plan. He wants you not to live this way anymore, not to live in Egypt anymore, but God has a plan for you to have a whole different world, a whole different life. Man, it's going to be incredible. Our needs are going to be supplied. There's going to be food. There's going to be refreshment. There's not going to be the bondage of Egypt any longer. Amen. I'm here, and I have a plan. What an incredible account. History. When I studied this out and was thinking about this, I'm reminded that Egypt is a picture of this world. Egypt's a picture of this world. And there's people in this world that if they would hear the gospel, they would be saved. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, when God looks over this globe, when God looks at this world, he knows those that would trust him if they would just hear the gospel. He knows that. It's a decision that we make. We have a free will, but God knows who will make that choice. And God has a desire to help them get out of the Egypt, the sin of this world. In Honduras, yes, we have a tremendous orphan problem. Well, why is that? The preacher's going to ask me later, so I'll just tell you now in my message anyway. It's typical in Honduras, many times you'll have a lady that'll have 10 or 15 children by 5 or 6, 7 different men. Very normal. And what'll happen is, after she has 2 or 3 children, that boyfriend will move out. She's got no job. She's got no hope for work. 27% unemployment rate. They're not going to hire a single mom with 3 kids. She faces a decision. What do I do with my kids? Well, a new boyfriend will come along. And he'll say, well, if you move in with me, I'll take care of you. But I don't want your kids from another man. And this happens all the time. There's a mom, there's a lady. She's put in a position, do I starve? Or do I abandon my kids? Literally, that's the decision there. And do I starve or do I abandon my kids? And most often what happens is that mom will tell her kids, hey, we're going to go to town. And they'll walk to town and she says, hey, I'll be right back. Stay here. And she walks off and never comes back. Don't Don't tell me she wants to do that. Her heart's breaking, no doubt. There's something called natural affection, and I think her heart's breaking inside. But she doesn't know what to do. And those kids wait for mom to come. She never comes. They get passed around from orphanage to orphanage, and wondering if anybody cares about them, wondering if there's a God in heaven. Most often what happens is one of those girls will find somebody that cares about them or thinks they care about them. And at 15 years old, that kid will be a mom. I've got grandmas in my church that are 30, 31, 32. I've got 15-year-olds with 2-year-old babies in my church. And without the grace of God, they're ready to have this cycle repeat itself over and over and over and over and over again. They're living in bondage. They're hopeless. They're helpless. They're being abused many times, wondering if there's something better out there. And the truth is, God loves them. God cares about them. God hears their cry. When there's a mom, maybe in Honduras, maybe in Massachusetts, and she goes home and her husband's beating her and abusing her, and she doesn't know what to say. She doesn't know who to talk to. She doesn't know if she's got options. And she looks out the window or looks up in the sky and says, God, if you're there, I need to know it. God, if you're there, I need to see you do something in my life. God, I need help. I need hope. Oh, you better believe that God hears those cries. Think about it. Some say as many as half of this world has never one time heard the name Jesus Christ. Shame on us. We can come to church day after day after day after day. We can lift our voices in praise, and half of the world, up to half the world, has never one time heard the name Jesus Christ. The man in Burma on the slide, that spoke to my heart, 112 years old. Never one time heard the name Jesus Christ. I don't know what was in his life. I don't know the hurt that was in his life or the history, but I'll tell you, there's people all over this world, they're looking for hope. They're looking for help. It's not about a missionary caring about people as much as it's about God cares about people. See, God cares about this lost and dying world, and God has a plan. God has a plan to reach this world. Now look at this. God says to Moses, yes, I'm here. I'm here to deliver you. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee to Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God says, all right, I've got a plan, and here's my plan, Moses. Are you ready for it? Here's my plan, Moses. You're the one who's going to do it. You're going to be the one that goes to Egypt. You're going to be the one that goes to Pharaoh. You're going to be the one that leads my people out of Egypt. Now, Moses' response, I think, is how we feel sometimes. Moses says, who am I that I could do that? I'm out with the sheep. I left all the riches. I left all the problems. I don't want to see people again in my life. I'm okay in the mountains. And God says, Moses, you're exactly who I have chosen to use. Mount Greylock Baptist Church. You're exactly who God has chosen to reach this world with the gospel of Christ. Amen. You're exactly who God has chosen. That's overwhelming, isn't it? When you think about how many people don't have Jesus Christ, when you think about how many countries have not even been reached with one missionary, and God says, okay, Mount Greylock Baptist Church, it's your responsibility. We think, well, who am I? I like our church. I like our pastor. You know, we're kind of happy here, but I got a job tomorrow. I got to go to work. Who am I that I could be used in that way? If you feel that way, then you're in the same place Moses was. What's the answer to that question? Who am I? Do you know that there were moms and dads and boys and girls and teenagers that were depending on Moses to obey God? Depending on him. There's times where Israel disobeyed, and you know what? When they disobeyed, they wandered in the wilderness for many more years. They lost God's blessing. I believe that if Moses hadn't said yes to God, Israel would not, at that point of history, left Egypt. People would have died in Egypt. Never gotten out. If we don't say yes to God, the truth is this, that without people hearing the word of God, there's no way for salvation, because salvation is only in Jesus Christ. And if we don't get his name around this world, if we don't do what God said, if we don't follow his plan, there's no hope. But God's plan is perfect, isn't it? And God's plan worked for Israel, and all Moses had to do was obey. All he had to do was go to Pharaoh and speak. God didn't say, all right, Moses, I want you to memorize this and practice this and study this and learn this. God said, I just want you to go and I want you to speak. That's all I'm asking you to do. Moses talks to God a little bit in another passage and says, Lord, I'm a man slow of speech. You ever feel like there's somebody better for the work of God than you? Yeah. Well, I'm not that qualified. I'm just I've only been saved for a couple of years. I'm not the most faithful Christian. I don't even come to church Wednesday nights most of the time. God wouldn't want to use me. Moses says to God, I'm a man slow of speech. God doesn't say, Moses, you're going to do great. You're a good person, Moses. You're going to do okay. God says to Moses, Moses, who made your mouth? God made Moses. Didn't make Moses with perfect speech. Because God doesn't need perfect people. God doesn't use only those that are the most polished and the most advanced and the most professional. God uses those that say yes. Look at this. I'm almost done, but look at this. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? God doesn't tell Moses, well, Moses, I've been studying you for years and been learning your leadership ability that you had out there with the sheep, and I've been thinking about your history, and I think that people will respond to you better than everybody else. No, that's not what God says. God says to Moses, verse 12, certainly, I will be with thee. I'll be with thee. And then he reminds Moses, this will be a token that I have sent thee. In other words, he wanted to remind Moses, this isn't an option. I'm sending you. You have the authority of me behind you. You have my command behind you, and know that I'm going with you. I have no idea how your church does missions giving, but sometimes we come to missions conference and we get a little nervous because preacher's going to want to increase missions giving this year. And we think, I kind of don't feel like I can do that. I've been there. You know, all Moses had to do was obey. That's it. God says, Moses, I'm going to go with you. You know what God wants from you, this missions conference? How are we going to reach the world with the gospel when we say to God, yes? That's all we have to do. We don't have to sell our car and sell our house and change everything in our life unless God tells us to. All we have to do is say, God, yes. God, yes. God, I'll say yes. God, if you want me to go, I will go. If you want me to speak, I will speak. If you want me to give, I will give. God, if you show me what to do this week at missions conference, I will say yes. That's all Moses had to do was say yes to God, and God used Moses to lead the entire nation of Israel out of bondage. When one person said yes. May I remind you of this? I said before, there's people depending on you. People depending on you. On our property, we have, right now, we have 9 teenagers, Hondurans. They have all been abandoned. They all have history. They all have stories. Many of them have been hurt. Many of them have been abused in different ways. Some of them just, they think they're worthless, and they say, Brother Chris, when you know me, you won't love me anymore. Nobody could love me. Oh, that breaks my heart. I had such a great home life, and my mom and dad, they still love me. They still want to talk to me, and these kids don't even know what that is. Breaks my heart. There's so much pain, and there's so much hurt in their life. I don't know all the stories. I've found out a little bit about some of the abuse with some of them, and they've been smacked around and hit around by preachers. Honduran preachers. We had a situation that I had to come in and give some correction. Boy, it's so hard for me to know how to do that in love, but to do it, it needs to be done. And I don't enjoy that part when we got to correct something. I remember one time with one person, I corrected a situation, and I didn't kick them out, but I said, look, you've got to make the choice. Are you going to listen? Are you going to do what you're supposed to do? Are you going to try to do right? I said, I know you're not going to be perfect, but are you going to try to do right? Or have you decided you're not going to do that? And she cried her eyes out and said, I know I messed up. I always mess up. Everywhere I've ever been, I've messed up. She said, I don't think you'd want me anymore, but if you want me, I'll come back. I said, of course we want you. Of course we want you. another time there was a situation where I had to deal with something, and they're feeling worthless and hopeless and helpless. And I look over, they cover their arm, but they've been taking a razor blade and slicing their arm. It's almost always a sign of past abuse. Her heart's broken. She's broken. We rescued her from a situation. She has a mom. Her mom knows where she is, and her mom has her number. One day, this girl's looking at the ground, and I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I just keep hoping my mom will call me." She never does. I don't know all the history of this person. I don't know all their life. I don't know if they're going to turn out for God or not, but I know this. There's times where they feel absolutely hopeless and helpless, where they say, "God, I don't know where you are." Me being in Honduras is not because of anything God's done special in my life. It's because of people like this young lady. And God loves them. And God knows their name. I think of these kids in Burma, 86 orphans. Man, no kid should have to, I'm thankful that there's orphanages, but no kid should have to live in an orphanage. 86 kids, you know that there's one of those children that of that home with 86 people, and they wonder if they're just a number. They wonder if anybody cares about them. They wonder if this whole thing about God is real. You know how they're going to know that? When we say yes to God. Yeah. Will you say yes to God this week? If God puts on your heart something, if God shows you something, if God's word reveals something in your life, will you just say yes to God? Who am I? Well, Moses thought, there's no way I can do that. I'm nobody. Do you feel that way? I'm just a church member. I'm not a preacher. I'm not going to go to Honduras. I'm not going to go to Burma. I'm afraid of snakes. Do you know that if you'll say yes to God, God will use you. Who am I? To somebody, somewhere, God will use you to bring them the love of God. To somebody, somewhere, you're the answer. To somebody, through the power of Jesus Christ. Who am I that I should go? Moses, to all of those people in Israel, the Bible says that God called you to bring them out of Egypt. So all those people tonight in the Egypt of this sinful world, looking for hope, God's called you, and God's called me. If we don't do it, it's not going to happen. There's no other plan. There's no other option. If we don't do it, it does not happen. Will you say yes to God? Maybe there's somebody tonight, and you would just get serious about things tonight. Say, God, I don't know what you want from me. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do, and I don't really like the idea of going to some crazy country where I'm afraid every night. I don't like that idea, but God, I don't know what you've got for me. But if you'll just tell me what I'm supposed to do, I'll say yes. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, your word is so powerful. It's just what we need. Lord, we don't want to have a church just to have a church. We want to get this gospel all over the world. Lord, it doesn't just happen by a missionary going. It happens by a church, by a family, by an individual, by a mom, by a dad saying yes. Lord, may we make a choice tonight. Pastor.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.